Hey, I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news pack show today. Oh my goodness, I dropped so many items to keep this thing tight. Jerry Seinfeld weighed in on Dave Chappelle. Reggie Watts took a shot at Dave Chappelle. We'll get to all that in a second. But did you see hashtag RIP Jimmy Fallon was trending the other day? I saw it and I didn't think Jimmy was dead. I assumed it was just a Tonight Show bit. Jimmy does a lot of hashtag things that tend to go viral late afternoons. I kind of ignored it. But no, it was just people pranking. And if you went through the hashtag, it was really funny because they would do things like, you know, sorry to lose the king, hashtag RIP Jimmy Fallon, and then have a picture of James Corden, that kind of stuff. Jimmy Fallon had two great jokes about it. The first, when they heard I died, Ticketmaster kicked me out of the line for Taylor Swift tickets. That's really funny. Also, when I heard Trump was running again, I said, over my dead body. The Hollywood Reporter caught up with Jerry Seinfeld. You know him from the famous TV sitcom Seinfeld. You know that guy? You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, him. They asked him about Dave Chappelle's SNL monologue that we've been talking about all week, and they said, did you find it funny? And Jerry said, I did think the comedy was well executed, but I think the subject matter calls for a conversation that I don't think I'd want to have in this venue. The Hollywood Reporter followed up with, but it made you uncomfortable, Jerry. It provokes a conversation, which hopefully is productive. Follow up. And is that the kind of conversation you would have with Dave? Because you seem to have a close relationship with him. Jerry said, I don't have a close relationship with him. We're friends, and it's not a close relationship. Wow. Interesting. All right, Jerry. Well played. From Newsweek, Reggie Watts has called on Dave Chappelle to, quote, consider a different approach, unquote, to his current social commentary and accused him of using bigoted hack jokes. Over Twitter, Reggie Watts wrote, damn, Dave Chappelle. I hope you consider a different approach to your current social commentary. It's feeling joyless and lacking the enlightenment you used to inspire. I understand the idea of crossing the line, but there are many more subversive yet unifying ways to do so. People reacted to the tweet. One Twitter user said, everyone in comedy is fair game. Reggie wrote back, you're right. Anything in comedy is fair game, but hack jokes at the expense of others is most certainly not unifying in any way. It just sounds bigoted. Then a user questioned the hack jokes remark. Reggie clarified his feelings and said, I agree. 94% of his set was funny, but he keeps leaning into topics that he must know are negatively sensitive. Perhaps he thinks he can overcorrect, which could be tactic depending on the outcome. When you have a large platform and you say things that are being challenged by enough folks, I think it should be addressed in some way. That's just me. He can do whatever he wants. I just like to see good discourse, of which there seems to be very little. I don't know, Reggie, this is the fifth straight day I've been talking about this topic, and I can tell you right now I'm going to talk about it Monday and Tuesday as well because I have those episodes half written. So there's a lot of discourse around that monologue. In a separate tweet, Reggie said, I would argue someone with a platform as large as his has some responsibility to what they put out there. Ultimately, he can do whatever he wants, but why not use your powers for betterment? Reggie, was all this about the SNL monologue? And Reggie says it's been an ongoing issue for a number of years in his opinion. Quote, everything I'm saying is done from a place of love, which was clearly stated in the first text. It's an invitation to discuss the responsibilities performers have when faced with direct challenges from their fans. Hannah Einbender went on Instagram. She commented on Dave Chappelle's monologue. She wrote, yeah, the Chappelle monologue was littered with anti-Semitism. He did it masterfully. He used a genius technique, two truths and a lie. What I mean by that is bigoted people will often couch their bigotry in a degree of truth. They'll tell you two great things and then they slip the lie in because they've earned your trust with the two great things they've told you. So in his case, the truth is good jokes. He had some solid jokes and re-emphasizing of conspiracy he sprinkled in. No one who laughs at the solid jokes would be willing to admit that there was anti-Semitism in the monologue because that admission would then qualify them as complicit. No one wants to feel like a bad person. The fact is, non-Jews aren't as keenly aware of anti-Semitic ideas, tropes, verbiage, etc. Most people just miss these ideas altogether and only remember that they laughed. So when Jews say, hey, there was anti-Semitism in there, folks go, you're too sensitive. Learn to take a joke because no one wants to feel that they're bad people. They gaslight Jews by telling us that we are imagining things. The danger is that Dave Chappelle and every other male comedian who believes their amplification of bigotry is just freedom of speech are seen as tellers of hard truths, and thus anyone who criticizes them are seen as snowflakes. I invite you to reframe this narrative. These men who pick on marginalized groups are establishment bullies reinforcing the status quo, not at all a job of a comedian. It's the people who speak out against them who are the truth tellers. As I told you at the top, busy day, Trevor Noah released the trailer for his upcoming special, which is called I Wish You Would. This is out on November 22nd. Let me check a calendar. That's Tuesday. In the trailer, we see Trevor Noah saying, in the United States of America, if you want to win an election, All you have to do is have a strange voice. He then notes every president has a funny voice, from JFK, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Biden. He then proceeds to do his best impression of Donald Trump, noting how he's had the strangest voice of them all. Trevor Noah, I Wish You Would, Netflix, November 22nd, Tuesday. Trevor was supposed to have President Obama last night, Thursday night. I only heard about this Thursday morning, or I would have told you about it. That didn't quite warrant a bonus episode. I will cover that for sure in tomorrow's episode. An update on Jay Leno from Peter Grossman, medical director of the Burn Center at West Hills Hospital. Grossman said Jay was in good spirits. Some of the facial wounds, quote, are a little bit deeper and a little more concerning, unquote, because they're showing signs of progressing to third degree burns, as can happen. The Hollywood Reporter says treatment intended to keep the burns from worsening includes high pressure oxygen therapy to stimulate healing, along with surgery in which the burn wounds are cleaned and shaved away. A temporary biological skin substitute is placed over the area. As part of the update, Grossman said Jay came through one surgery well. A second was planned for this week. Jay is up and walking, telling jokes, and is a hit with the staff, even giving out cookies to young patients. In a statement earlier this week, Jay referred to his burns as serious, but said he'd only need a week or two to get back on his feet. Grossman said he appreciated the eagerness, but cautioned Jay Leno to be realistic. I had to tell him he needs to step back a little bit and just realize that some of this takes time. He's very compliant. He understands that. I think he's realizing that he does need to perhaps take it a little slower than he initially anticipated. Wife Mavis Leno is, quote, obviously very concerned. She's by his side. They have a very close relationship, and she's doing as well as you can expect a wife who's concerned about her husband. Grossman expects Leno to make a full recovery, but it was too early to know if there would be, quote, remnants of the injury. Tomorrow's a normal episode, and as I mentioned, I'll talk about Trevor Noah and President Obama. Now, on Sunday, here's what I'm going to do. So I've been working on the YouTube page. And part of that process has been adding thumbnails to old episodes of the podcast and creating some playlists. And when I was doing that the other day, I came across last year's Thanksgiving episode, on which I broke apart the WKRP in Cincinnati episode where we learned that turkeys can't fly. 40 years, spoilers, you had time to watch it. Why didn't you watch it by yet? And a really thorough breakdown of Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving song. So the show has really grown over the last year, and I'm like, huh, a lot of people haven't heard that. Let me recycle it. So I'm going to have a new top and a new end, but two-thirds of Sunday's episode is a rerun. So if you've been around for a year and you're like, I heard this already. Yes, you did on Thanksgiving Day last year. Next week, I'm planning on having normal episodes every day. I knew the holidays were coming. I have slept some stuff that could wait. I've got at least two major Dave Chappelle essays to share with you, so it should be normal episodes. We're not leaving yet, but, you know, you can follow the show on Apple and Spotify and the YouTube page. Larry David is getting caught up in this cryptocurrency FTX exchange thing. This is not a financial podcast, but the AV Club pointed out that Larry David, Tom Brady, and Shaquille O'Neal are being sued as part of a class action suit against collapsing cryptocurrency exchange FTX. Specifically, they've been named as, quote, brand ambassadors, unquote, in a suit from an Oklahoma man accusing FTX of employing celebrities to target, quote, unsophisticated investors, unquote, in a, quote, Ponzi scheme, unquote. Larry David had appeared in a Super Bowl ad in which he loudly declared that crypto wouldn't work and wasn't worth investing in. Now, I'm no lawyer, but if somebody said to me, hey, you've got 3 seconds, I need you to defend Larry David on the fly here, can you do that? I'd be like, I'm not a lawyer, but do you have the Super Bowl ad in which Larry David clearly says crypto won't work? And I would play that. And I would say it ran during the Super Bowl, which a lot of people watch. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. Let's head on over to Gossip Corner. It was Pete Davidson's birthday this week. TMZ believes Pete Davidson is now official with Emily Ratajkowski. Now, they were spotted this week. TMZ says their hookup adventures started with Pete, ever the gentleman, driving to Emily's West Village apartment to pick her up. But when paparazzi started snapping pics, he bolted. But they had a backup plan. Emily offered a rideshare, which took her to a Brooklyn rendezvous with Pete. Boy, as much as I like gossiping about this, imagine just people following you around. Pete's just trying to go on a date and he's got cameras following him. Emily bolted into a building and then some idiot with a podcast reports the story and is kind of a hypocrite. He just said how awful this is and then he's doing it while laughing at it. I know. Emily bolted into a building and they greeted each other with a long, warm hug and a smile. It's unclear if the place in Brooklyn was Pete Davidson's place, but he reportedly did buy a place in Brooklyn earlier this year. What were they wearing, Johnny Mac? Well, Pete had on gray sweats, a white t-shirt, and a black hoodie jacket combo. Wait, was he in the basement recording a comedy podcast? Because that's pretty much what I'm wearing right now. Emily wore baggy sweats and a black puffer jacket, which she paired with a white crop top and sneakers. A source told People magazine, the couple are, quote, seeing each other. Meanwhile, Yahoo got my attention with the headline, Kim Kardashian insisted she and Pete Davidson didn't do anything but shower after the Met Gala. All right, I'm in. In season 2, episode 9 of The Kardashians, all 5 Kardashian sisters and their mom attended the 2022 Met Gala. The episode is Pete Davidson's first on-screen appearance in the series. Earlier in the episode, Kim had turned to then-boyfriend Pete Davidson and asked him if he wanted to take a shower with her. Pete tossed his belongings into the air and quickly jogged after her. Later, in Kim's hotel room, sister Khloe poked fun at Kim, saying she and Pete had done something other than bathe together. Khloe said, I want to know what you're doing in the shower. And Kim said, that was quick, guys. That was a shower. That was a shower. All right. And it was Comedy Rose Night on The Masked Singer on Wednesday. Special guests John Lovitz and Drew the Yamakari. Drew the Yamakari oversaw the Battle Royale. He made jokes about the two finalists. He blamed Snowstorm for making him late all those times in Cleveland. And then laughed that he had no jokes for Avocado because he didn't expect him to still be there. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify. See you tomorrow.